word. I am out of the house. I'm here. We're with people. Yeah, just a little giddy. Do you know, there's something so special about community. And I've always known it was important. But my prayer is that I would never take it for granted again. Because there is something about community that allows us to experience love. You know, God Himself is in community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when we are in community with God, that's good news. Even if you're at home and, you know, unfortunately you can't join here with us this morning, you are still in community. You know, we are still in community and spirit. It is great to physically gather. But when we are in community with God, we get to experience His love. And when we're in community with one another, even like Serena says, how she was sharing hope, even from being confined in her home. And I was blessed enough to be one of those people that she reached out to, and she sent me a beautiful gift that I was really grateful for. She knows how much I love journaling and colorful things, and so she sent me something that she knows I'd like. But we get to experience love when we show the ways of love, when we're kind to one another. It echoes who God is. And I'm so grateful that we get to be family together, whether you're physically here or whether you're at home online. Family is so important, and it is God's idea. I want to read something to you from Ephesians 1, 17. And I want you to read this. And my prayer is that it would be a prayer to you, that I pray that as you hear this scripture, that something inside you will awaken, that you'll hear God whisper your name. Because I really felt like God said your name when I read this scripture. So it's Ephesians 1, 17. My prayer for you is this, that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what it is, the hope to which He has called you. I'm just going to read that again. This is what my prayer is, that the eyes of your heart are enlightened, that you may know the hope that which you have been called to. You have been called to a hope. It's got your name written on it. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power, not yours, His power towards you who believe, according to His great might and work. You need to breathe a sigh of relief. It's not about whether you can do it. Phew, I don't know about you, but phew. It's about His great work and power in us and through us. You know, last year, October, something just arrested me in scripture. I just read a verse that I had heard so many times, particularly at weddings. I'd heard it many times. And I'm speaking about a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. And it's known as the love verse. And it kind of unpacks the ways of love. And it says, you know, love isn't envious. It isn't boastful. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even know. I didn't know how to love. I was like, what? You know, I kind of thought love was affectionate. And, you know, love was all feel good. But actually, it's not that it's not those things, but the very essence of love, agape love, which is the kind of love that is heavenly. It is a divine love. It is a love that only comes from God. That kind of love that is slow to anger and quick to forgive, that keeps no record of wrong. You know what? It is easy to keep no record of wrong when nobody does anything wrong. I'm just saying. It's easy to not be angry or not to be irritable when people don't do things that are irritating. But God's love for us isn't dependent on whether you're not irritable or irritating or whether you do things right or wrong. His love is based on his character. It is who he is. So everything he does is expressed through this nature of love. And that's why scripture says that because God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that you may know life and life to its full, that you may be saved. You know, we're talking about spreading hope. And in Corinthians, I'm going to read it to you now. It's 1 Corinthians 13, 13. It's right at the end of that chapter that kind of unpacks the ways of love. Really, it's telling you the ways of the Father. It's telling you the ways of God. But right at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, 13, it says, "So now, faith, hope, and love abide." Can I just tell you, by the way, abide means to live without fading. Oh, don't you just love that? I mean, maybe it's because I'm getting on a bit and my hair is certainly fading because I haven't seen a hairdresser in a very long time. But I'm just telling you, to live without fading. Isn't that just amazing? So now, faith, hope, and love abide. They live without fading. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And as we've been talking about hope, I've been wondering about this connection between hope and faith and love. And as I've been kind of really just thinking and sitting before God and going, why would you say that out of everything that we have, great things, only these things are going to remain. Only these things are eternal. And I felt like God just kind of whispered something to me. I just kind of felt like, is this true? Like I heard something in my spirit. And I had to like go to scripture and, you know, read and find out, is what I heard in my heart true? Because I didn't know. I just heard something echo in my spirit. Because I was like, Lord, why these three things? And I felt like the Lord said that they are the representation of the Trinity. That they reflect the fullness of God. That the reason they all remain is because they are eternal. God is eternal. His character, his ways is eternal. Scripture says that God is love. Scripture says that Jesus is our living hope. And the Holy Spirit, his job is to teach us, to point us towards Jesus, this living hope, to remind us of things that we've heard and maybe read, to grow us in the ways of love. And here we have the fullness of God represented in these three things. Now, I just want to be really honest with you. It says the greatest of these is love. And I think it's the thing that I probably misunderstood for the longest time. I always knew from a young age, I don't know how old I was, really little, I remember putting my hand up and making a commitment that I wanted to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I took this step of faith. I really didn't know what this step was the beginning of, but it was the beginning of an incredible journey. And I always knew that Jesus had saved me. Maybe because I was such a wrong one when I was growing up. I mean, honestly, Lord knows I needed saving. I always knew he saved me from the things that I'd done wrong. And I knew that he'd saved me not only from sin, but from death. And I knew in my heart that he'd saved me for life. Not only life now so I could live it in the full, but in the fullness of eternity that I could be with him. And as I've walked with God, I have learned to increasingly allow him to be my Lord in a way that I use my will to submit to his. And that's been a journey. But the one thing I never knew, I knew he saved me. I knew he was my Lord. But I didn't know why. Like, I knew that was the case, but I wasn't really sure why. And I know now, and I'm coming to understand in greater depth, that it was because he loved me. Not just because he loved the world, but because he loved me. Now, I make that distinction because I used to remember hearing Christians say, do you know what, Siobhan? If you were the only one on earth, Jesus would have died for you on the cross. And I'm like, I used to smile inside going, I don't think so. Like, I was just lucky that I was kind of part of humanity. And so when the verse says that God so loved the world, I was part of the world. So I get to be a part of that. And I just thought, well, I really didn't believe in my heart that if God genuinely, if I was the only one on the earth, that he would have done that for. But it's not scriptural. When you read your Bible, when you read this love letter to you, it isn't scriptural. The Bible says that he knows you and loves you so much that he even knows how many hairs you have on your head. Now, you know, maybe it's age and my hair's getting too long, but I lose hair all the time. So that's not a one-time deal. He's going to have to keep track. I know for you men, he's probably going to have to keep track less and less, but let's not go there. But you know what? He loves you so much. Sorry. Ouch. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Scripture says that he knitted you together in your mother's womb. Can you imagine that this God who spoke stars into being sat down one day and you were the thought in his mind? And he sat and he sketched out your features and he sketched out your character and he sketched out the plans and the hopes that he had for you. Can you imagine how mindful he was of you? This isn't a generic love. I'm telling you, he does love the world, but he loves you. And my prayer is that you will get a revelation of that. Because we struggle to spread hope because we struggle to trust. And we struggle to trust because we haven't actually received a love that isn't of this earth. It is divine. And until you receive that divine love, I don't care how wealthy you are, I don't care how popular you are on social media, I don't care how well life is going, until you have got the love of your Father received and marinated in it, it will never quite be enough. You'll never be whole. It'll always be something that you're chasing. Because our real identity is found when we receive the love of God. I want to tell you right now that I believe that in order for us to spread hope, we've got to have faith.
That was like an old song and I can't sing, but it kind of just came into my head and I thought I'd say it.
But to spread hope, we've got to have faith. Faith, by the way, it is a trust. It is reliable. It's because you have a reliance on a character of one that is trustworthy. Faith is truth. It is stable. It is secure. We find true foundations of faith when we come into the one that is the truth, the living word. Faith, by the way, directs our hope. So where is your trust right now? Because where your trust is, that will give you an indication of what you can and cannot have hope for. When you trust, when you have faith in Jesus, and not in what you can do, but in what he's already done for you, it gives you a direction of faith that can go against circumstances. Because my faith isn't about what's around me, it's about whose I am. I am the child of the living God. And he's made me a promise. And that's why I get to have hope. Even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of a pandemic. You know, there is a story in the Bible. It's taken from the book of Ruth. And I love it. It is a love story. And the main characters of this story is Ruth and Boaz. And Boaz actually represents a picture of Jesus. But what I love about the story, what I want to concentrate on, and by the way, I encourage you to read this story. It's only about 4 or 5 pages, and then you've read the whole book. And then you can say to somebody, I've read a whole book in the Bible. So it's just a short book. Go ahead and read it. You can tell people you've read a whole book, and you actually have. But it's a great story. But I don't really want to focus on this love affair that happens between Ruth and Boaz. I want to focus on what happened between Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, the beginning of this story, there isn't a whole lot of hope. In fact, it feels hopeless. And Naomi's husband has died, as has both her sons. I mean, talk about grief. Not only your husband, but both your sons. And they've left behind 2 daughter-in-laws. And she is so bereft. Naomi's name actually means pleasant, by the way. And she's in a foreign land, but she now returns back to her homeland. And she says to her daughter-in-laws, you need to go. Go back to your mother's house. And I hope that the Lord deals kindly with you. That word kindly basically means, I hope that the Lord shows you his loyal love. She still knows that God is loyal, but she doesn't feel hopeful right now. In fact, she's pretty bitter. When she arrives, her daughter-in-laws, one of them go, but Ruth, she stays. And she makes this promise. She says, where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your God will be my God. And only death will part us. She's making a covenant type promise. This isn't just because she likes Naomi, because although Naomi was once pleasant, she now even calls herself bitter. I mean, not just sad, bitter. She's not lovable right now, but Ruth's commitment to her isn't based on anything other than she is a loyal person and she's committed to her. And she says, I'm going to go where you go, and only death will part us. And so they go to Bethlehem, and the women are so excited to see her. And she says, I don't know why you're excited. I've changed my name to Bitter. I left this homeland of mine full, and I've come back empty. I mean, this is really hopeless kind of talk. But Ruth continues to love her. And all of a sudden, there's a distant relative on the picture who also shows them love. And the kind of story progresses, and Ruth goes into this field, and she's gleaning, and Boaz happens to own the field, and he sees her picking wheat and barley, and he's like, oh, you know, who is this girl? And we just have this beautiful story, and Ruth goes back to her mother-in-law, says, I met this guy called Boaz, and he was really looking after me. In fact, his men deliberately dropped wheat for me to pick up. And Ruth says, would you take some advice from me? You know what? Very often we want people to follow us, but you'll only follow someone that you know is for you. And she knows that Naomi loves her. And so she goes, okay, I'll take your advice. What should I do? She tells her to do something really weird. I wouldn't recommend it, ladies, if you're single. But she basically goes to find Boaz, who's in the threshing floor, and she uncovers his feet in the middle of the night and lies there. And Naomi says, when he wakes up, he'll tell you what to do. Guys, that's a bit odd, don't you think? Can you imagine waking up, seeing a girl just lying at your feet? But such is the trust of Ruth in Naomi, because they have a love that's far more than just affection. It's a covenant type of love that she trusts the advice she gives her. And she goes, and you actually have the first woman proposing to a man, because she says, would you take me under your wing? And he agrees. And the story unfolds that they actually get married, and it's just beautiful. You need to read it, because I cannot do it justice, about how he redeems her. But they get married, and they have a child. And then we cut back to the woman speaking to Naomi again. And this is what they say to her. It's taken in Ruth 4:14, if you want to read it. It's not going to be on the screen, but I'll read it to you. The woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you without a close relative, that his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life, a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons. In those days, a son was a really great thing because it came with inheritance and all kinds of things. But they're saying, you had a plan, but God had a better one. And when you were hopeless, he had already put provision for you. And we have this story where through love, trust is built. And because trust is built, hope can flow. This is how God disciples us. He says, I love you first, so trust me. Have a faith that's based on who I am. And now you can hope. Hope for the things that are in my word, my promise for you. We're going to sing a song and ask the band to join us. But there, you might think, Siobhan, this happened so long ago. Let me tell you, I met a young girl last year, or the year before, actually. I met her at a conference, and I remember thinking, she is so uncomfortable. I mean, God bless her for being here, but I remember looking at her thinking, she really looks like she'd want to be anywhere else. But she started to follow me, ask me questions. She asked if we could meet up for a coffee, and we did. And I started to love her and introduce her to a community that would love her. And they started to bless her and give her advice and just give her wisdom and opportunities and all kinds of things. And because of her love, she started to trust again. And because she started to trust again, she rang me last week and said, Siobhan, I have never had as much hope as I do today. You met me in a hopeless place, and I'm now full of hope. I mean, she literally spills it out like confetti because she knows she's loved and her trust has built. We're going to sing this song. The band have prepared it specially. You know, God is faithful because he has a loyal love for you. It's not conditioned on who you are. It's because of who he is. And if you would just sit at his feet like Ruth did, just go to his feet and receive the love. It's a free gift, but it would cost him his life. And he wants to just marinate you in love so that your spirit and your thoughts and everything can become from the understanding of knowing you are loved. And then that's how you'll disciple others. Just do, like Ben said, small acts of kindness, small things in great love, and watch that domino effect of how love brings trust and trust brings hope. This is how we're discipled, and this is how we're to disciple others. This is how we spread confetti. When we're not sure where our hope is, when we're not sure how to trust, go back to the Father's feet and know you are loved. We're going to sing a song about promises. And you know, I want to ask you, if you're in the room, stand. If you're at home, stand. And I'm going to say a prayer. And for some of you, your heart is going to be enlightened. And you're going to hear him call your name. You're going to hear hope himself call your name. And if you say this prayer for the first time, I just want you to put a hand emoji in the chat feed. There is a team ready to pray with you. Come, let the Father love you. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm sorry. I'm yours now. I'm free now. Amen. Amen. That's how simple it is. No strings attached. He did everything so that you could just come and say, faithful God. The song that we're about to sing, it says, the God of Abraham. This was this guy in the Bible who God said he loved, and had this enormous promise for him. And you know, sometimes Abraham was faithful and sometimes Abraham was lovable, but sometimes he wasn't. But this wasn't because of who Abraham was, because of who God was. God is faithful. His loyal love lasts the test of time. And we're going to sing this song about God's faithfulness. And I want you to receive it. He loves you. That's why he can make such an outrageous promise. He is faithful to his word. And I want you to hear this song. I want you to sing it in your living rooms. I want your heart to waken and be enlightened with a Father who adores you. In Jesus' name, amen.